Doing much better. Awesome. Good, good, good. Good, good, good. Alrighty. So what we're going to do this morning is recap our time from last week with Abner. One thing that, you know, we had lunch with Graham Cook a few years back, and one thing he said, he had done this conference, and I said, okay, you just did this amazing conference. You brought this incredible word of the Lord to us. What would you do next? If you're the pastor of this church, like, how do you handle the amazing wisdom you just brought to this church? And he said, this is probably a large part of what this church is, why we're here. He said, you know, one of the problems with the church in America today is that it's supposed to be an army that receives the word of the Lord and says yes to it and then does it, right? But unfortunately, we've become like an amazing audience. And so all over the country, on every street corner, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, you hear the most amazing word of the Lord that you've ever heard. And it's like, give your life to this, go over here, follow this. And you're like, yeah, that was awesome. Great job, pastor. And then 6 hours later, they're like, give your life to that over there, go over there. Yeah, great job. And then 3 days later, okay. So he said what it's caused is this schizophrenic church. Where we don't know what to do, we don't have time to process and put those things into practice in our life, and so then the result is the expectation is to say, great job, pastor, and the church doesn't do anything. It's just an audience. He said, you know, when I'm pastoring a church, if I bring somebody in with a real teacher's gifting, I will take time. He actually said, I won't preach again for at least a month, is what he said. And I will just dissect what that person brought to us and kind of break it in until it becomes a part of who we are. I thought it was so good. So, I had scheduled Kathy Parker to preach today. She's going to be preaching next week, and I can't wait to hear what she's got to share. But she was gracious enough to let me bump her back a week so we can take some time and just kind of process what happened last week and what the Lord is speaking to us, and maybe help you guys know how to handle it a little bit, okay? So that's what we're doing today. My concern for today, my concern personally and for you, is that we all learn how to understand the will of God for you, okay? So you guys remember this analogy that I've told you in the past. Whenever God told us to, before he told us to start the church, he gave me this analogy. He said, when a potter goes to make a pot, he knows exactly what he wants to make before he starts. So he's going to put the right material aside, the right amount of material. He's going to give enough time to make what he wants to make. Sometimes he wants a huge, giant vase that he plans to put in front of thousands and thousands of people, in front of a whole stadium, to carry like hundreds of thousands of dollars of flowers. It takes months and months and months. It's ornate. It costs a lot of money. He has a specific plan for that vase. But other times, he wants a soy sauce dish because he loves sushi. He loves that soy sauce, a little dip, and he wants a perfect dish. The dish doesn't take a lot of material, doesn't take a lot of time, but it has a very specific purpose in the potter's mind, okay? The problem that we run into is whenever we look at the vase and we think, oh, that's the goal of life for me to be like that. And the full pleasure of the potter is only in the vessel when it realizes what it was designed by the potter to do and it fully embraces that design, okay? So I felt like he told me, you can receive, if you will just figure out what you're designed to do, created to do, that's where your spiritual inheritance comes from. So if one guy is created to lead millions of people to Christ, and he's supposed to lead 10 million people to Christ, and at the end of his life, he's led 9 million people. So 90% of what he was called to do. That's amazing, right? He said, now let's just imagine there was somebody else who wasn't called to lead anybody to Christ, but they're called to love people every single day at their very simple job. And they wake up every single day and they love people 100%. They never lead anybody to Christ. They never start a Bible study. They never start a church. They never do any of these special things that we think, oh, that's the goal of life. He said if they do it 100% of what they're called to do, they could end up in heaven with more spiritual inheritance than somebody who wins 9 million people to Christ. Whoa. I'll see how theologically correct that is when I get to heaven, but it was powerful for me. And that's my encouragement for you guys is don't look at anybody else. Say, God, what did you design me to do? And how can I become that? And so we do that through prophetic words. We do that through listening to the Bible. We do that through asking God and having conversations. We do that through things that we're naturally gifted at that he designed us to do and embracing those things, okay? So that is my number one concern for me personally and for you. And so coming off of Abner speaking prophetically into us, how do we take what he brought to us and apply it to us so that we can become everything we're destined to be? All right, so how do we respond? How do we conform to his dream for you? Do you guys remember Abner's story of being in South Africa and he was running and the dump truck came by and it almost killed him? And all of a sudden he was freaking out. He's like, oh my gosh, I almost just died. And he had this thought about, if you died, where would you be right now? Oh, I'd be in heaven, no question. And then the Lord challenged him and said, what if you believed everything I told you, as much as you believe the fact that when you die, you will be in heaven, right? You believe it because you believe what the word says. You believe what God says. You know, without doubt, you will be in heaven when you die. What if every single thing God told us, we believed to that degree? How would your life look different? And that was challenging for me. Like, whoa. Because, Lord, like, you talk a lot. So, man, that would require a lot of life change. Like, man, so what would that look like for me? So my question is, how do I respond to what was brought last week? How do I conform my life to come into alignment with his dream for my life? And then the things that were spoken, do I actually believe this is the word of God for me? Which, let's be clear, at times when we share prophetic words, some of it may not be the word of the Lord. So you have to weigh it, discern it, ask the Holy Spirit, look it up, you know, line it up with the Bible. So do we actually believe it? How would your life be different? All right. So the farmer's faith. We talked about this about a month ago. You guys remember talking about the good soil, the four seeds, and how to handle God's word rightly. So let's open up to Luke chapter 8. Verses 5 through 18. Sounds like the kids are doing great. Luke chapter 8. It's not going to be on the screens, so I'm sorry. It just ain't up there. Verse 5. Forgive me, I'm going to read in King James. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that has ears, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Okay? Say that with me. The seed is the word of God. Verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which when they heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Verse 15, pay attention to this. But that on the good ground, which is what we want to be, are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word of the Lord, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Okay? And then go skip to verse 18. Jesus says this, take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whoever has, to him shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away. All right? Now I want to pay attention to two parts, verse 15 and verse 18. So we want to be the good soil. The word of God is the seed. We want to receive the seed. We want to be good soil in our lives so that the seed can come and grow fruit, right? So verse 15, but on that the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word of the Lord, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So we got three words here out of the Greek that I want to pay attention to. The first one is hear. In the Greek, hear means attend to, consider what's said, or understand or perceive. Okay? So hearing is attending to. It's pondering on what was said. It's receiving it and taking care of it, understanding, perceiving. Okay? So we need to hear the word of the Lord, and then we need to attend to it and consider it. With me? Say, yes, Grant, I'm with you. All right. The second word is keep. In the Greek, keep, it says to keep in memory of. All right, so we're going to hear the word, we're going to consider it, and then attend to it, take care of it, and then we're going to keep it. So we're going to keep it at the forefront of our memory. We're going to retain it so that it doesn't go away. We're going to keep it close by. And it also refers to like when you check a ship's headway or you hold a ship's heading, okay? That is keeping secure. Then the third thing is patience. So the Greek here for patience is endurance, constancy, steadfast waiting, not swerving from his deliberate purpose or loyalty. So patience is endurance and standing fast. Okay? So, let's see here. So if we hear, keep, and we're patient with God's word, that equals good soil inside of us. Okay? If we have good soil and we tend God's word well, the seed will yield a good harvest. And then those who yield a good harvest, it's promised that they will receive more good seed from God. Okay? And track with me? All right. So verse 18, Jesus says, take heed then how you hear. For whoever hears, more will be given. And those who don't, basically he says, those who don't pay attention to the words that I give them, I'm going to stop giving it to them. So if you want fruit in your life, make your life good soil so that you can have good fruit. Because if you don't want good fruit, then just don't pay attention to his word and he just won't give you any more seed.
Whoa.
Okay? So that's exactly what we want to be today, is good soil with the word that we heard last week. Okay? So Abner's got a book, Creation Reborn. Raise your hand if you had a chance to buy it. Okay, good. Are you guys digging into it yet? I know Sharon is. You guys like it so far? I read this book about half a year ago, and I thought it was fitting. There's one section where I dog-eared the pages pretty bad, and it was exactly what I felt like we were supposed to talk about today. So I want to read it to you, okay? So I don't know if you can read it up there. Hopefully you can, but I'm going to read it. It's page 138, 39, and 40. From Abner's book. And I just want to encourage you guys, if you wanted to buy it and didn't buy it, it's out there in the bookstore. It's a great book. I really, really do enjoy it. God is looking for faithful stewards in this wonderful moment in history. The Apostle Paul admonishes, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 2. We will be considered faithful stewards as we obey what God has spoken. Just like what we were talking about, right? Good soil, as we obey what God has spoken. James describes deception as hearing but not responding to God's commands. What's more, we should declare his word and celebrate his intervention in our lives continuously. In teaching the nation of Israel how they were to love him with all their heart, soul, and strength, God commanded that they continually declare his word and remember his intervention in their lives. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Okay? Does that sound like hearing and keeping? Yeah? That's exactly what God was teaching them. Hear and keep my word. God wanted his chosen people, Israel, to declare the future he had planned for them. Tragically, they chose to reject his promises and focus on their obstacles, and they failed to appropriate the promises of God, even though they were clearly instructed to do so. We face a similar sobering possibility when we fail to align ourselves with what God is speaking in this hour. Again, aligning, conforming ourselves to the word of God. We become doers of the word as we seek to obey the word of God and give it preeminence in our lives. Jesus taught that we must pay close attention to what God has spoken and that we will be positioned for increase when we do so. Next page. Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Luke 8:18. The Father's desire has not yet been fully manifested in the earth. Matthew 6-10. Jesus had a desire to share many things with the disciples, but was unable to do so because they were not ready to receive them. But he said that the person of the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. In his wisdom and mercy, the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal all we need to know at one moment of time. He unveils himself over time through the process of intimacy and encounter. We become candidates for deeper revelation as we demonstrate our fidelity and careful obedience to what has already been entrusted to us. Isn't that so good? But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Matthew 13:23. God wants to reveal his will and purpose to his children so they can declare them and fulfill his prophetic intention to restore the earth to its proper order. I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. Isaiah 61:16. The last little bit here. The future will belong to those who see and declare what God intends for the earth. The Father's goal is not a prophetic movement. He is interested in making us into a prophetic people. He wants his people to be signs and wonders, not simply to perform them. Samuel the prophet serves as a great figure to study in order to see what characteristic God is looking for in prophetic people. Amen? It's good stuff. So, Lord, we want to become that type of person that hears, that keeps, patiently believes. You know, the thing about the farmer is that the farmer, when he goes to the store to purchase seed, it is not a question in his mind, is this seed going to give me money later in the year? He knows without a question, when I put seed in the ground, when I cover it up, when I water it a little bit, it will produce fruit. There's no question. And so we need to be that way with God's word. God speaks to us, a prophetic word or something from the word. I believe it just as much as I'm going to heaven when I die. And then I want to tend to it well. Amen? Okay. So, my question is, how are you handling the seed or the word of God that he's given to you? Over your whole history of your life, how are you doing at handling that word? Are you hearing it? Are you keeping it? Are you persevering with endurance, believing that it's going to bear fruit? Yeah. Are you patiently hearing and keeping them? Do you believe them like you do your own salvation? And are you conforming your life to them so God's desires and dreams can come to pass? All right. So let's take a second. Close your eyes and just kind of recall to your mind maybe a couple main things that God has spoken to you personally. How are you doing at taking care of that word? And then just take a second and ask the Lord, what else could I do to keep it and to hear it and to be more patient with it? All right. Now let's talk about the word that he gave to the church last Sunday morning. Okay? So I just want to recall what he said, and I want us to agree together as a people. Yes, Lord, we are believing these things. We are partnering with you. Okay, long before the church was ever started, one of our primary goals was to say, God, look, there's plenty of churches doing amazing things all over the place. We only want to do what you are desiring for us to do. What kind of church do you desire? We don't want to do anything else. And so that's played itself out a lot over the past couple years. One, for instance, is whenever we first started, we felt like he said, plant the church. We said, okay, we're going to do it. In our minds, we had a preset way of doing church. We thought we knew how to plant a church. And then there was a three-month period where we had a sabbatical, and I just spent time with God, hours and hours and hours. God, what do you want the church to look like? And he starts speaking some very different things that were like, whoa, hold on a minute. I don't know if I've ever heard of church that way. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how to do that. And he started making very clear what he wanted over this three-month period. So we said, okay, I don't get it. I don't have a clue if I can even do those things, but okay, sounds good. We'll give it a shot, right? And then when we moved up here to Oklahoma City, it happened again. We'd waited 6 months for our house to sell. The house finally sells. We get moved into our house. We're like, all right, it's time to start a church. Here we go. And I'm thinking, we're going to just tell everybody. There's already a group of people waiting. We're going to start church. Bam, it's going to happen like that. And we get moved in, and the Lord says, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm sorry. Who's in charge of this church? And I'm like, oh, you are. Of course you are. He's like, oh, okay, because I thought maybe you thought you were in charge of this church. Okay. No, listen, if you want to be in charge of the church, that's fine. Like, I'm sure you would do a nice church. You would create a nice church, and I would probably even come sometimes. But if I'm in charge of this church, here's how to do it. Don't do anything. I was like, you don't know how to start churches. That's the wrong way to start a church. You don't know what you're doing. And he said, don't do anything. Just wait. And so we waited, right? And that's kind of how it's been, letting the Lord do church how he wants. That's our only care, God. Whatever we dream of church, we put it aside, and we say, whatever your dream is for this church in this area, that's what we want, okay? So I want you guys to believe the same way that we believe about that. So, again, we're saying that, and we agree with God's desires for this church, okay? So before we dig into what Abner said, I want us to proclaim this together. Can we do this? Read through it just for a second and make sure you agree with what's being stated, and then I want to stand up and proclaim it together. Y'all down for that? All right, let's stand up. Let's hold hands with somebody across the aisle, whatever. You can hold my feet. All right. Father God, King Jesus, and Holy Spirit, we corporately submit this church to your leading. We choose to hear and to keep your word patiently and steadfastly until you receive the good fruit you deserve. We will conform ourselves to the desires and longings of your heart so that the type of church you have dreamt of us becoming is realized fully. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen. All right, so at the beginning of Abner's time last week, he read this to us, and I just want to read it again and let it get into our hearts. And here's my goal in recounting these things. It's one thing for me to believe all these things. It's another thing for you to have these in your heart and you to stand and believe with God also, because I can only bring one flavor, one tiny little piece of the puzzle. I need all of us believing the same stuff and bringing that to the table in order for this church to become what it's supposed to be. Okay? So here's what he says. When Grant and Rachel obeyed me and came to this region to begin Bethel, Oklahoma City, they brought great joy to my heart. The community that I'm building here will be a community of great joy. It will be a community of great presence, and it will be a community of great power. It will be a community that I have ordained to do the impossible. Yes, if you will believe me, there will be nothing that will be impossible for you. Get ready to continually build. Get ready to continually expand. Get ready to be stretched continually. But it will not be a burdensome walk. It will be a joyful walk. And one in which great joy will come to this region and even the nations of the earth. Yes, I have ordained this house to be one that influences nations, changes nations, and helps to birth new wells of revival all over the globe. So today is just a small step in the purposes of God being established. Rejoice, for though you are in the initial conception stages, you have a glorious future, one in which you do not need worry or fear, but my voice will be your guide. My voice will guide you into the unknown. My voice will create the path to do the impossible and empower you to do the impossible. You will know the way you should walk by hearing and following my voice. Miracles and supernatural provision will come as you obey my voice. Yes, even in this year, I desire to miracles you have not yet seen, not only as you gather, but as you live your lives, I desire to do the impossible through you. Yes, since the inception of this great city, I had a great desire and purpose for this city, and yet those plans have not been fully manifested. But my desire is to use this community of people as forerunners for the purposes of God, so that others may see goodness that too would join in the purposes of God being established in this region. Amen. Woo! When you start reading that, I was like, oh, come on, Abner. Woo! This is good. Okay, and then I want to look through these five core values that he gave us as well, real quick. I'm going to go through each one here in a second. But he said that prophetically, five core values of this church is that we're supposed to be a gatekeeper community. We're supposed to be a house of promise. We're supposed to be a house of David, releasing a unique sound of worship. We're supposed to be a house of nations. We're supposed to be a house of power. All right? So let me go through each one just real fast. He was gracious enough to give me all of his notes. So these are some of his notes from last Sunday morning. Matthew 16:19, talking about a gatekeeper community. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The things you don't allow on earth will be the things that God does not allow. And the things you allow on earth will be the things that God allows. So the keys of the kingdom, the key represents the authority given to people on behalf of God to represent God. Joseph was the voice of God to Pharaoh in the earth. Daniel was the voice of God to Nebuchadnezzar. Bethel, Oklahoma City is the voice of God to this region and around. As we exercise our God-given authority, we've been given the privilege of bringing joy and hope to others in their God-given assignments. Those that properly execute their authority are people of hope, and I've intended for this house to be a house of hope. Amen. Amen. So, Lord, we just say yes to being a gatekeeper community, and we're asking that you would guide us and lead us, specifically during our prayer times, as we seek to partner with you, that the things that you desire for this area, we would learn to use our keys of authority to unlock those things on the earth. And the evil and the wickedness that you do not desire to be in this area, you would teach us to use our authority to bind those things up so that if it's not in heaven, it's not in our area. In Jesus' name. The next one was a house of promise. He said, it is critical that my people be a people of promise in this season. Promise helps to anchor our faith in God, despite the fact that our current circumstances might be in total opposition to our promise. The promise God gave to Abraham is still affecting the world today. And God has this narrative that he is writing for world history. Humanity correctly aligned with him, born-again believers, is crucial for history to be as God intends. The promise God gives to us in 2015 is to influence eternity. And we will fulfill the promise as God intends as we stay in the posture of fellowship that God intends. Amen. I think this is... Well, I thought what was so cool is all five of the things that he was talking about last week, they were all things that other people have prophetically spoken and that God is on his own, is put into our hearts kind of along the way. And so everything was extremely confirming and very much like, oh yeah, so-and-so said that too. Oh yeah, and God said that here, and, you know. And so I think this is, it's critical that we be a people of promise, but I think we are a people of promise already. You know, everything up until this point has just been a people of promise. Lord, we just say yes. We say yes to being a people of promise. We say yes to living lifestyles of faith, of radical faith, where we believe you for the impossible, where we're not afraid to bring heaven's ways to earth, even if it's difficult or even if it makes no sense in the natural realm how it's possible. We will be people of the promise, in Jesus' name. Amen. Number three, a house of David, releasing a unique sound. A lot of this had like tons of notes. You guys remember he taught on all sorts of different scriptures throughout. So I just kind of took the main pieces here. But this one he says, I desire to release a unique sound through the company of people in this room, even as it was on the day of Pentecost that a sound was heard. I desire to release a unique roar through the people of God. In this roar, it will be a prophetic roar. It will be a sound that displaces darkness. It will be a sound that turns the heart of the lost back to the heart of the Father. And it will be a sound that the people in this region are longing to hear. It will be a sound that is heard in nations, and a sound that is lovely to hear, a sound that engages people to turn their hearts towards me in true worship and praise, a sound that changes them forever. Amen. Totally believe that. I remember back when we were at my house doing worship at the house, I remember Benjamin, when they were coming, he said, man, it's just crazy. It's like when we worship, it's like there's an army of like hundreds of people. It's amazing. Like the sound that comes out of this tiny group is amazing. So Lord, we say yes to that prophetic sound. And we say yes, that the worship and the way that we worship will absolutely destroy the strongholds of the enemy around us. We agree that you're able to take our worship and you use it as a weapon against the devil. That when we stand in this place and we worship you with all of our hearts, you are going to war on the strongholds of the devil outside and around us. And you come back and you're like, great war, guys. Y'all did it. We're like, what do we do? Oh, you just whooped up. So we say yes. And Lord, we just ask for more and more and more of that unique sound. Whatever that's supposed to look like, we say yes in the name of Jesus. Amen. Number four, a house of nations. I desire you to be that would be a reflection of heaven and one in which all the races of this region would gather. Particularly, I desire you to be a house in which both blacks and whites gather as one under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. Yes, I desire for you to be a prophetic sign to this region of how my kingdom crosses culturally, economic, and racial barriers, contend for the lost, contend for the nations, contend to be a prophetic people. And then he said, ask of me and I will give you nations. That's how that happens. That was also confirmed by another prophetic word from Andy Rudd down in Ardmore. And last time we were with him a few months back, he said, guys, I just see in my mind, I see like half of your church is black people and half is white. And it's this beautiful mix of the nations in your house. So we agree, God, we wholeheartedly agree. We thank you that over the past couple years, we have had seasons where there are more black people in our church than white people. And God, we just say, we want it again. Would you bring in the nations? Teach us, God, how to worship the way that other cultures worship. Teach us how to be very hospitable to different cultures. And teach us, God, how to bridge any gaps or any walls that might be up against the racial barriers. Because we want this to be a sign to the city and a sign to all those around. We want it to be a house of nations, just like it's going to be in heaven. Amen. Amen. And then number five, the last one, was a house of power. He read Matthew 10, 7 through 8, talking about Jesus. He says, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Freely, without pay, you have received. Freely, without charge, give. And then he went on to talk about how we're not supposed to be a house of power for power's sake, but specifically so that we can rightly reveal God to a hurting world. And we need to be like Peter. He did a whole teaching on Peter. That through our brokenness, even though we're imperfect, we still pursue a life of power just like Peter did. And we're able to be bold regarding power. And all of the things that happen when we pray, we point it back to Jesus like crazy. It's only because of Jesus. It's only because of the Father, right? So Lord, we agree. We want to be a house of power. Just because it's who you are. And it's a very much a part of who you are. You told us, I think it's 1 John 3, verse 8b, that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And we know that through your power is a tremendous way to destroy the works of the devil. So God, we say yes to being a house of power. We say yes to seeing miracles and healings and creative miracles and whatever you want to do in this place, we say yes to it. Lead us, Holy Spirit. Give us boldness to pursue it. Give us tremendous impartations when we need it. Help us to become a house of power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so how do we respond? Wrap it up here. Hit the road for Atlanta. How do we respond? My question is, will you take these words that have been spoken prophetically over our church, and will you keep them? Will you hear them? Will you keep them patiently in your own personal hearts? Right? Will you ponder on them? And will you help us accomplish God's desires for this church? And how can you do it? What can you bring to the table to help us do the things that God is dreaming of this church doing? I can't do it by myself, right? I love this analogy. I'll show it to you one more time. Okay. If I had four people, you could do it even with more people. But let's say we had four people gathered around this table. And I had one person in front, one person on the side, one person up there, one person back here. Right, one person up above, one person below. Everybody's going to see a unique perspective that the other person is not able to see. Right, so the person in the front is going to be like, oh, it's a guitar. It's got six strings. It's got this nice wood. It's got these different frets. You can tell us all sorts of different stuff like that. But that person can't tell me how many little white dots are here on the fretboard so that you can see. That person also can't tell me that the back of the neck is nice and smooth and rounded so your hand goes up and down nice and easy. That person also can't tell me that you can access electronics on the back of it with a Phillips head screwdriver, right? That person also can't tell me that over here you have a thing for your strap so you can hook up. That person can't tell me that it's like an inch and a half thick in a solid body, right? Everybody has a different perspective that they bring to the table. And that's extremely true in this church. Though Rachel and I may be the senior leaders, we're not in charge of this church, right? God's in charge of this church. And it only works if we all bring to the table our specific perspective that God's put in our hearts. And we say, God, here it is. This is who I am. This is what I'm created to do. This is my soy sauce dish. I give it to you to do whatever you want to do in this church. Amen? Okay, so I want to pray in agreement. Meryl, you want to find some music for me? Just take a second, close your eyes, and just ask the Lord, God, what do I bring to the table to help you accomplish your dreams in this area through this church? And then just along with that, let me ask you, what is your favorite of those five things, gatekeeper community, the house of promise, house of David, house of nations, house of power, what is your personal favorite? Because I think it'll point you to a lot of what you are called to bring to the table. So let's stand up together. I'm going to pray, and you guys just agree with me in your spirits. You can pray out loud if you want as we go through it. But God, we just fully and wholeheartedly submit this church to you. This is your church. This is not our church. This is your design, not our design. This is your desires, not our desires. However you prefer for church to look in this specific location, we say yes to that specific flavor. That specific look and feel that you have for us, we say yes. But we ask you, God, would you open our ears? Would you open our eyes? Help us understand what your desires are, that our flesh doesn't taint what that looks like. Lord, we ask that this would be Bethel, a place where the heavens are opened, where you speak to people, and in speaking through encounter, people's lives are radically turned around, and they go from lying tricksters to promised ones, right? God, would you let it happen? Let this be a place where the angels are free to come and go and to help us with the things that you're calling us to do. We ask that this be a place where the Holy Spirit is free to be himself and to do the things that he desires to do in helping us, and where Jesus is highly glorified. That's what we're asking, God. And we lift up these five core values that have been prophetically spoken over us. We agree with them. We agree to be gatekeepers of the community. We agree that the things of heaven will be here on earth, and the things that are not in heaven, we will not allow into the community in this place. We agree to learn how to use our spiritual authority rightly in a way that honors and glorifies you. We agree to be a house of promise, that we will be a people who listen to your voice, who agree with the promises that you give us, and we will walk in such a way like Abraham did, where we walk in faith. Even if we can't see any of the practical bits of the promise, we will believe with all of our hearts that your promise is true, no matter what we can't see around us. In Jesus' name, we agree to be a house of David, where there's a unique prophetic sound like a roar that changes the spiritual dynamics around this place, and that through our worship you will take our worship and use it as warfare against the enemy, and you will also be highly glorified, highly lifted up, and that you will create a beautiful throne in this place of your glory. We agree to be a house of nations, where half of our church is black people and half of our church is white people, and it is mixed with Asians and Hispanics and every other race under the sun. We say yes in the name of Jesus, and we agree that we will welcome and invite those flavors and that culture in this place so that you are glorified through those beautiful cultures in Jesus' name. And we agree to be a house of power in the name of Jesus, that your miracles, your healing, your power would flow through this place in a right way that very strongly glorifies you and shows a hurting world how beautiful you are in the name of Jesus. We submit to you, God. And God, we bring to the table this morning the specific flavor that you put inside of us, the calling that you put inside of us. We bring it to the table and we say, we submit it to you. We lay it down at your feet. God, use me however you can. Whatever your intention was for me being in this church to accomplish your desires, use me, God. And I say yes to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. And Lord, we thank you that as you create the type of church that you're dreaming of in this place, we thank you that there will be so many people, multitudes of people who are far from you, who learn about how amazing you are, and their lives completely turn around, loving you because of the testimony in this house. Thank you, God. Thank you that as this church becomes what you call it to be, the works of the devil will absolutely be destroyed. You promised us that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And we claim it for ourselves. The gates of hell will not prevail against this specific church. So as we advance forward, the gates of defense that the devil puts against us to keep us out of his territory, they will fall down. And we will bring the light of the kingdom of God into those dark territories. And we will take back everything he's stolen in this area, and we will take it back for your glory. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. All right, hug everybody. We love you. I'm on the road.